Okay, everybody, welcome to A Course in Miracles. This has turned out to be such a wonderful section. I'm just loving it. I can't wait to get back to it each Thursday. This surprising little section has more in it than I remember. It's called the branching of the road. And it's Jesus sitting down with you and calling out this subtle decision of your devotion. Your commitment to actually leaving the promises of the ego for things that are just not believable, but it's all you want.
Yeah.
Do you want happiness all the time? Well, yeah. Do you want security that comes from eternity and infinity as yours? Well, that would be nice. Do you want a sense of belonging that is closer to you than your own breath? Well, that would be nice. Can I have that too? Do you want the ability to communicate and share with others with a sense of purpose and completion? What? I can have that? Of course. These kind of things that we who are on a spiritual journey, we who have tapped into the idea that everything is one, that everything actually is connected, although it appears not to be, somehow we each who have joined tonight suspect that there actually is a commonality, a sameness, a oneness in truth. And we would like to abide as that and extend that, if I may speak for everybody. I know it's true for you. I know it's true. Well, this little section here says that you guys, because you've come along this far with A Course in Miracles, you are standing in the world, and because you're still living with a body, constantly coming up in your life is a branching of the road, where you come to a place where you could continue to go forward like you've been going, or you could swerve off this path of momentum and consistency that has been living in and as a body. You're there. He's not saying maybe. He's not saying try. At page 477, he's saying, well, if you made it this far, I know what's going on in your mind. You are at a branching of the road. We are describing your personal journey. And tonight, and obviously it's not even the middle of the book yet, so it's not the end of the journey, but this is a chance. It's a check-in. It's almost like a pop quiz. Are you on board? Can you possibly go deeper before we turn the page? It's an invitation from Jesus. Just like every one of the lessons is. Each one of those lessons is meeting you at the highest level you can afford with your mind to say, can you take a step closer to me, love, before you turn the page tomorrow morning? One day at a time. So this section is basically describing a choice to wake up. And how present is that choice for you? When things go wrong. You see, when things are going right and everything's cooking along smoothly, you're having fun and middle of your movie, or you know, you with your loved one, and everything's going great. You don't question, you don't need to question, you don't feel like it. But when things go wrong, when the darkness comes, when there's worry, when there's doubt, when there's anger, when there is a sense of loss of any type that enters your mind, it's time for a miracle. Those times is what I'm asking about. Of course, in miracles is asking about. In fact, it says, blah, 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 blah. Why not today? Why not now? You remember that lesson. You remember reading that lesson going, oh, you mean like me now? Is that what he, yeah. I don't want to scare you away. He never says if you don't get it, you're lost. Because you can't, you, as the author of this book sees you, cannot be lost. You can only deny your presence. You can only pretend to be a body. You're not actually a body. From the perspective of the author of this book, you're not a body. You are perfectly free, and you will forever remain exactly as God created you. So the author doesn't, not worried, but does throw out invitations like this section, like tonight. Invitations for you to possibly choose a little deeper devotion, to possibly choose your own salvation. It just means you'd be saved from all these things you don't want. Fear, anger, worry, identity of being a body. You don't have to get out of the body. You don't have to suddenly turn to white light and disappear. Not at all. But there comes a day when fear leaves you. It leaves you. Fear leaves you. You didn't push it away. You didn't even decide to have it leave. You just discover that you're no longer what can be threatened. You go, oh well, oh yeah, I guess that's done. That's what happened to me. It's what the soul book is about. It's a gift, but it's just wait. You know, it's waiting to be taken in. No hurry, nobody's going to push you, nobody can push you. Wooden stick. So you're at a branching in a road. You are at a branching in a road, and you have been instructed on what the off-ramp looks like. You will continue to be instructed. Here come, in another 200 pages, here come 365 easy to follow steps to take you hand by hand, hour by hour, to help you see what it looks like to let go of the ego, how to catch the darkness habit and choose the light each day, each hour of each day, sometimes each 10 minutes of each hour of each day, to break you of the habit, the addiction of being a body in time and space. It's what this is about. It says it all over the place. I'm not sure I remember this page right. So maybe I better check before I have you go there, just before we jump in. Right. I don't have it right. Good page, though. Okay. Another night. Okay. So let's just take a moment, just 2 or 3 minutes, 2 or 3, 4 minutes, we'll see, just a handful of minutes. And I'd like you to think about your own personal devotion. And you know, you possibly don't have the words to describe what it means, what your personal next step looks like, feels like. But you're living this life, and you know. Get in touch with that now, would you? I'm asking you to recognize what the branch in the road looks like for you on an average day when things don't feel right. You know you could be at peace. You know you could choose peace. You know you could see through it and past it. When a moment like that comes, put yourself there, would you? Just imagine the discomfort of the world approaching you over some argument or problem or worry that you have or inconvenience in your life with that person or that whatever it is. And you lose your peace. What does, just ask yourself, what does it look like, feel like when you're at that branch in the road? And honestly, if you could pick a real example, that would be best, and try to work it up in your gut so that you start to get a little worry going on. Perfect. And then look, have the Holy Spirit show you the branch, the exit, the off-ramp. What would it look like to release the contraction, even though you're still going to deal with whatever it is like you do always, but without fear, simply without fear? Take a minute. Find that situation. Feel it. What would it be like in that difficult moment? Hours, days, months, I don't know how. What would it be like in the middle of that difficulty? To forgive your thoughts of loss. Lighten up and face it without fear. And just live through it like you were going to anyway, but just differently, free. Choose now how that is. If you're successful, you feel a lightness of being come over you, a release, a relief. If you're unsuccessful and you're just too worried about the problem, feel a lightness of being. What would it be like to have released fear and say, oh, I'll be fine. Somehow this will be good. I choose to have faith. You're going to faith it until you make it. And now forgive the contraction. Let it go. Feel the lightness of being from you having changed your mind. And when you're ready, please open your eyes and rejoin the meeting. Any success there? Anybody want to report? Emily?
I noticed that there's a need for attention from this external. And when I let go of that, the problem, you know, was outside of me. And then when I was with it and it wasn't like an object to attend to or an external aversion or something, I just sat with the things that were uncomfortable. And then I noticed I didn't need attention from it, or, and I gave it attention, but it wasn't it. It was just giving me attention. I don't know how to say it, but it was like there wasn't some subject object that I was noticing. It was just, there was no problem then. So long as I kept thinking of there was something out there, an object of my aversion, you know, that I was not liking, there was an attention. But once I started giving attention to just being with the uncomfortableness, and then it kind of disappeared.
Isn't that amazing? If you are, this is the purpose of a, conscious meditation, to come into the present moment. And for a moment, even though you have terrible worries or what have you, to afford to release them for a moment with every intention of picking them back up and continue to bite your fingernails and worry. But if you can let it go, you discover the power of your mind and that it was not outside you threatening you. It was always inside you. And you were continuing to stoke the fire that you were building for your own discomfort. And you said, wait a minute, I don't think I'm going to go back to all that trouble. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe I'll get a good night's sleep now that I broke the cycle. I broke the spell. You broke the spell of that being some kind of a power over you. Beautiful. Great discovery. Great sense of freedom comes. I'm just changing your mind. Yep. Ego busted. What do you got, Luann?
I live in a retirement home, and most of the stuff they do here is not the kind of stuff I like doing. So I decided I would start a finding your ancestors group, because that is something that interests me. And so one person came the first week, and three people came the second week. One person came this week, a different person. So I have four different people coming at different times. And I'm thinking what I realized was inside of me was a feeling of, you know, what happens if this just doesn't work? And I could use the word fail, or I could just use it just doesn't work. But what I decided to say was, you know, even if it was just me finishing, that's what I really like to do myself. So actually teaching all these other people how to do it, or showing them what they can do, takes away from the joy that I have in doing it. So I have something I can do if in case it doesn't work. So it's okay.
So you have looked at it and removed the loss.
Yes.
And now it's all good. Whether somebody comes or nobody comes, you're coming. You're going to get what you want.
And it did feel exactly like lighting, because my stomach was contracting as I was thinking about the reasons why, about the possibility that might not work. And as soon as I said, well, you know, even if it's only one person, it's okay. And if it's just me, it's okay. I did feel a lot lighter.
And a lightness of being came over your mind. Mm-hmm. For your simple choice.
Right.
That is a miracle. It's a shift in perception about something that was dark and it became light. That is what a miracle is. You did it. And now it's up to you to use forgiveness to let go of any other returning thought about it.
Okay, I did that at the end. I don't know if a returning thought will not come, but I will remember to forgive it when it does.
That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness responds to what the miracle has given, freedom. Forgiveness sees the darkness and lets it go, returning to the lightness of being that you just explained to us that you had. The miracle gave it to you. Forgiveness restores it and lets you keep it. And then one day, your daughter will say, hey, mom, how many people are coming to your group? And the answer is going to be one, let's say, or five, or not, whatever the answer is. And you'll find that you say, you don't even care.
Well, I don't already care just from having done this just now.
That's the point. Now, that's a holy instant.
Yeah.
That lightness of being that says you're free. You're free if it's only you that shows up, and you're free if you have to find a bigger room because there aren't enough chairs.
I'm in a pretty big room, about 15 or 20 chairs in there. And I'm not comfortable teaching a class of 15 or 20.
Now. My point is, you're free.
I know.
My point is, you're free.
Yeah.
Okay, that is what a holy instant feels like. It's to use a term from Malcolm Gladwell, anti-fragile.
Oh, that's a good one. It does make you feel stronger, doesn't it?
You feel stronger, and the adversity just makes you even stronger. The adversity you already went through during the meditation, which is that I found something that's contracting, and how can I be free in that moment?
Yeah.
The branch in the road to freedom. That means you're stronger. You're anti-fragile, exactly. Very good, Luann.
Thank you.
Good, good, good. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Kind of hand in hand with what Emily and also Luann, but what I was experiencing was, and I don't know if I can put it into words, but somehow I went beyond the body, my body. I don't know how to explain it. I became something other than the body so that everything was located and connected to the body and its attachment to everything. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, somehow I went, you know, I sort of let go and kind of went out of the body or into the sort of the everything. It's not like I had a real, you know, super duper holy instant, but a sensation of that. And then there was nothing to be, because I had an experience today with somebody on the phone that I felt so annoyed afterwards. And I've had a loss with my puppy dog that's been having a lot of trouble with the loss. You know, I thought, why am I still feeling such a loss? You know, so both of those, when I was not the body, it was nothing. So just a little experience of that.
Yes. Freedom. What does freedom feel like? She's not asleep. She's not ignoring the puppy, not ignoring the life. In fact, it's right in front of her. But the fear is not present. The loss is not present. This is a lightness of being that were Jacqueline faced with a difficult decision in that moment, she's much more capable of being free to choose the right thing. A happier outcome, considering other people, not being selfish. All these are available to her because she has this lightness of being perspective. And then living life suddenly might be fun, even through problems. You get reborn. Yeah, good, good. Emily.
Andrew, you brought up forgiveness in a way that I didn't look at it before, because what I was kind of trying to describe was there's a moment when I wanted to be given attention from a source outside of myself. And then once I started giving attention, you know, I was thinking of that as forgiveness. And I didn't need it from outside. And so then everything was okay. But you had a way of describing it differently.
Oh, indeed. The world's forgiveness is to look on something and let it go without punishment. To look on something that is harmful or contracted or uncomfortable and not react, not punish. This is the world's forgiveness. A Course in Miracles forgiveness follows a miracle. A Course in Miracles forgiveness, you have changed your perspective on the situation that it's not loss. It can't hurt you anymore. It could never could. Like Luann's miracle about calling a meeting for doing ancestry work with a bunch of chairs in a big room and nobody shows up and it's good. Now, that's the miracle. Forgiveness is releasing the habitual thoughts that might say that's not good. Forgiveness is releasing stinking thinking. A miracle shows you that stinking thinking is meaningless, valueless. So you may release it. The miracle is the correction. Forgiveness is building the proper habit now that you're corrected. And the whole yinsen is recognizing it's done. This is what A Course in Miracles teaches. The dogma, the triad, the step one, step two, step three. Yes, Jacqueline.
The other thing I noticed when I was feeling a lot of grief, a lot of real heartache over my dog, what I started to notice was that was justifying, confirming that I am this being that is hurting and that dog body is gone. Somehow it was...
Don't let the ego...
It was what was strengthening the idea that this was real, right? So
yes.
And so what I want to say about that. And also I thought of this branching of the road and I thought, okay, am I really ready right now? And I didn't, but it's in the ideas there. Am I ready to give up suffering? Totally let go, give up suffering. Because suffering just confirms, you know, is the ego confirming you are this and this is what's happening and this is real. And I realized that's, you know, am I ready really to choose to give that up, to let that
go? You really got your finger on it here. That's good. And now this is difficult with a loved one. And I don't know, you guys have all been around, I think, longer than me. So you know that pets can hurt sometimes more than people when the pet dies, right? It really happens. People are supposed to die. Pets are not supposed to die. I don't know how that works, but that's how it is. So, you know, it's significant what you're going through. I'm not saying always. I'm just saying sometimes. Now, the ego, the spiritual ego, even with A Course in Miracles in hand, would say your job is not to feel the loss of your dog and be free. Turns out, because your relationship with your dog was one based on love for years, the spiritual ego wants to get in there and cut the ties to love and say that's what you should do to be free of the suffering and the loss of thinking about your wonderful little puppy. But A Course in Miracles says, same thing, same words, be free of the suffering of the loss, for sure. But embrace the love that is created in that relationship and will never go away. The other side of the coin is not to forget your dog. It is to now accept your dog, the complete life of your dog. What's your dog's name?
Coco.
Coco. Coco. So now, there was a day some 12 to 15 years ago when Coco was not in your life. And the ego says, go back to that. Zero. Go back to zero, you'll be fine. Right? No. Course in Miracles says that you do have creations in this world. They're not of the creations in the scale of God and being a creator, because this is a dream. However, you do have loving thoughts. You have loving thoughts where you actually break down the barrier between yourself and another. And when you do, When the importance of the other is equal to or higher than the importance of you, you have entered the realm of love. You have begun to do actual sharing. This is a creation. This is a lucid dream, so to speak, in the dream, okay? So things of form do not, you don't keep anything of form, but this is of a content. This is using your mind. And so I propose to you that you do a meditation on Coco. And you kind of hug the idea of Coco and say, finally, after 12 to 15 years, however long it's been, Coco's complete and yours forever. You now have Coco completely. Mm-hmm. And take the love that comes with that feeling and a lightness of being that comes with no longer having to reject the end of Coco. The ego would love to have you have a problem with Coco dying. Do you see the miracle? That's the invitation to the miracle here. That would be a shift in perception about the end of Coco's form and the acceptance of Coco's eternity. The creation, you co-create it. And you know it because you know how it feels, Jacqueline. Nobody cares about their dog enough, you know, without having that love in there like you do. So, big invitation for you now is to accept and receive that love and let it bloom in you now. And accept that this is, now you finally got to the end of the Coco book and you loved it. How do you know until you finish the book, right? The last page could be horrible when you're reading a book. You say, how do you like that book? It's really good. I have only one more chapter to go. I really like it so far. I hope they don't mess it up with the lead character. You get to decide now because you've gone all through these 13 years with Coco and you turn the last page. Did you love the book? Did you love Coco? Was it a good thing? Oh, yeah. Take that, feel it, own it, let it wash throughout your body because you have more love in your life now than you did before. And getting that silly ego out of the way, you can accept all of the love. The ego is starting to trim it back. So that's my recommendation. Go for it. Go for it. Okay. So that's another perfect example. Thank you, Jacqueline, of a branching in the road. Where you could have the Holy Spirit, which is a spirit of inclusion, and receive the love that's waiting there. With the death of a pet? Are you kidding me? A death? Yes. Not kidding. The death of, and same with people. I mean, I have to cancel people through losing their own children. It's just the ugliest possible thing. There's so much love that should not be lost or afraid to somehow release that love back into a life, your life. Yeah. Branching in the road. Let's choose love. Let's choose freedom. Let's not choose darkness or contraction in any form it tries to take. That's what we're studying in this sweet little section. Let's get to it. Page 477 in your text. Just amazing. So glad we're studying this. Luann, when you get there, we're on paragraph 3 now. Chapter 22, section 4, paragraph 3.
Could you repeat that?
Yes, it's, you want chapter and verse or page?
The page and...
Page 477 in the text.
Okay.
Paragraph 3. Okay. Let's see. 407 467.
Uh-huh. 70.
Oh, 70.
Uh-huh.
70.
70.
70.
Y siete. Yeah.
That's 70. 77.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Leah, when you're ready, would you read for us paragraph 3?
And so you and your brother stand here in this holy place before the veil of sin that hangs between you and the face of Christ. Let it be lifted. Raise it together with your brother, for it is but a veil that stands between you. Either you or your brother alone will see it as a solid block, nor realize how thin the drapery that separates you now. Yet it is almost over in your awareness, and peace has reached you even here before the veil. Think of what will happen later. The love of Christ will light your face and shine from it into a darkened world that needs the light. And from this holy place, he will return with you, not leaving it nor you. You will become his messenger, returning him unto himself.
Beautiful. Thank you, Luann. Okay. All right, so sentence one. So now you and your brother stand here in this holy place before the veil of sin. That's the impossible, something's wrong, some unforgivable thing has happened, or there's something so fearful I can't face, etc. The veil of sin that hangs between you and the face of Christ. The face of Christ is, drumroll, innocence. Real innocence, perfect innocence, anywhere, all the time. Guiltlessness. Let it be lifted. Raise it together with your brother. Now, that doesn't mean your brother has to cooperate. That means you have to see that it's also true for your brother, even if he can't see it. He doesn't have to worry. He's also not threatened. Even though he's swearing and cussing and worried and crying and who knows what else. Raise it together with your brother. Because what's true for you is true for him. Same level. Same truth. For it is but a veil that stands between you. You raise it, the veil's no longer there. You raise it, the veil is no longer there. But wait, Andrew, they keep worrying, complaining, they still want a divorce or whatever. Not the point. You can't let it be outside you. That's the ego and the spiritual ego trying to say you need to get them to agree and then you're free. That's the spiritual ego. Ego. Ego means a separate existence, a competing separate existence. Nope, you're dropping that whole concept of a competing separate existence. Existence you do not drop. Can't. You ever thought about that?
I think about it a lot and wonder what in the heck it means.
Here's what it means. It means page 257, paragraph 17, sentence 10. Okay, hold your finger here. Everybody go to page 257 in your text. This is another little gift that Jesus drops before you're possibly ready to hear it. But, you know, a lot of people are very advanced when they start studying A Course in Miracles. So why not? And then when your second time through, you're more advanced. And then the fifth time through, you're really more advanced and you can hear this stuff. So throughout the whole book, starting with the miracle principles, there's very high level discussions, very high level discussions of how to free your mind and how free your mind is. See, sometimes you just need to hear it. Sometimes you feel free, but you need permission to own it. Course in Miracles is there for you, even on page 1. Okay, 257. Paragraph 17. Sentence 5, 6, 6. I love this sentence. This little short sentence is a perfect iambic pentameter. It is a complete teaching and promise from one who has gone beyond living in a body. And it's just given to you, buried on page 257, waiting for you to discover and to highlight and to maybe get out your lipstick, Luann, and write it on the mirror.
Okay.
When you're ready.
Or this is out there in my fist instead.
When this speaks to you, this should be separated out and thought about and celebrated and meditated. And here comes a truth about the context where you find yourself one day. Ready? Here it is. 257, paragraph 17, sentence 6. You dwell not here, comma, but in, big word coming up, take a breath, eternity. We'll come back to this. That's not all. The next sentence continues to finish the job. You travel, but in dreams. But in Course in Miracles, see the word but, you can put the word only in its place. So you could say, you travel only in dreams, comma, while safe at home. Period. End of release, permission to celebrate your larger life. Your true self has been described, has been commented on by one who actually has a proper perspective. Given you here in this short sentence, these two sentences. Let's look at them a little deeper.
Andrew, can you?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on 457.
Okay, we got to go to 257.
Oh, 257. No wonder. Thank you.
No, there's great stuff out there in 400s. And yeah, this, but not for tonight. 257. Get yourself there, Excel. And then the bottom of the page, paragraph 17, right at the very bottom, the last two sentences. Now, let's look at them a little more deeply. You, it's calling out to you, your consciousness, and it will meet you at the highest level you can afford. That's why I say read the Course in Miracles over again. Because if you can ever get through it, each time you do, you can now afford to do more. At least it's been my personal experience. I've studied a lot of spiritual stuff, traveled on it and studied on it. And this book just keeps inviting me to go deeper. In a way, I would say more supported way than any other book I've ever read. It's just so well supported. There are some other great books, but they seem, you know, they're just, you know, like fewer topics, you know, so. It doesn't have the ladder that A Course in Miracles presents. It just keeps unfolding. The same pages unfold into higher and higher steps. This is an example. You perhaps you read right past this the first four or five times that you read this book, like I did. Okay, first of all, sentence six, you dwell. Okay, you do dwell, folks. It's not ignoring your existence. You do dwell. It means you do exist. Thank you very much, Jesus. Thank you. Acknowledging you. Isn't that good news? You aren't actually a cartoon that's going to be erased by enlightenment and then gone forever. Thank you. You dwell. You do dwell. Then he clears his throat. not here. not here. Jesus, If not here, then where? In eternity. What? Yes. I know. He says, I know. You made up this wonderful adventure of time and space and a body. It's amazing. But you don't actually fit in that body, and you can't actually stay here, and you actually aren't here. But I know you think you are, he says, many times. So, big news, he's acknowledging your existence, and then he clarifies it. He says, you dwell not here, but in eternity. Oh, I think that's fantastic news. That's worth an entire meditation, I would say. And then he says, well, while we're on the topic, you've made quite a wonderful existence by thinking you're traveling through space and time. It's really great. You've got a past, a present, and a future, and you've got a here and a there. And you've got theirs where you haven't been yet. And you would travel maybe in your imagination or maybe in truth there. And it's fun, right? Fun to travel. One of us went to Switzerland to go skiing on a bunch of rocks. Hey, travel. Okay, check it out. Jesus says, you travel. You do travel. No kidding. You do travel. It's fantastic. Well done. Wonderful. But I got to correct you. He says, you're actually traveling in dreams. So don't fear it at all. Enjoy it. The travels that you've made in your dreams have become travels of nightmares. They're nightmare travels. So look, recognize you travel in dreams, okay? You're actually safe at home. What great news. What a gift in two short sentences on page 257, huh? So that's why you should forgive the world, Luann. You should let it go from causing any harm. And now you're free to live out the rest of your life without fear. If you choose, if you can afford it, it's proposed right there. And tons of other places.
You know, I get that absolutely.
Good.
My problem comes up with that sentence. It says, you dwell. And I want to say, as what?
A thought in the mind of God. When God thinks something, it's not like when you think something. God's thoughts are creations. That's what makes God God. You have denied your identity as an extension of God, so you no longer have creations. But you still have thoughts. So you do dwell, but not here in your nightmarish dreams that are sometimes good. That all end in death. No, you dwell, but not here. You actually dwell in eternity. Those are where God's thoughts are. Eternity doesn't mean a long time. So relax. If you're tired, sometimes people say, oh, I don't want to live forever. It's so tiring. No.
Let me take this a little bit further then.
Sure, please.
A thought and the mind of God.
Yep.
In our dreams, we think of ourselves as the essence of ourselves as different than everybody else. Is that true in the mind of God, or are we all the same in the mind of God?
We're all the same in the mind of God. We're all in the same in that we're equal.
Okay.
You see, in the your dreams, not only are we not the same, but we're not equal.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Worse. God's mind, if he were to be able to think in specifics like now we're suggesting he does, can't think in specifics, okay? So we're having a little artistic license here just for teaching purposes. God's mind would see all the different aspects and pieces of creation as completely equal, and each one perfectly complete on its own. Celebrating the perfection like a fractal. If you look at a fractal, the closer you look, the more you see the same thing. And yet there's a beautiful shape, yes? Right? Beautiful, right? Isn't that what drew you in to look at the fractal in the first place? Is that curve? Everybody know what a fractal is?
No, not specifically.
Okay. Tim, would you bring up a picture of a fractal? I'm imagining that would be easy for you.
Okay.
And we probably shouldn't get distracted. So I think we have to abandon that line.
Yeah.
Let's abandon that line. Let me just go back with the generalities here. Everything is created of the same thing, and each what appears to be fraction is just an extension of the same thing. The leaf on the tree, okay? You got a picture of a leaf on a tree? Green, it's got veins, partially translucent. You got it? Kind of light green. Is made up of the same stuff of the branch it came out of. But the branch is brown, isn't it? So it's not a reach to say that the leaf and the branch are the same. Oh, they're different. They look different, but they're carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen. In fact, they share the very same cells. You see? So God's perception would actually be an extension of oneness, no problem at all. See, the problem, though, with this line of discussion, I'm going to bring it back to reality, is God doesn't have a specific point of view. So God would see the entire tree at once. Leaves, roots, bark, wood, water on the surface, microbes, everything, all at once. And it would not look like what you see. The entire spectrum, everything, all at once. What would a tree look like if you somehow went under the surface and looked up from the bottom? Can you imagine that, please? What would it look like?
It would look like just the very bottom of the tree, roots.
Right? Dark? Mm-hmm. Spreading out in every direction? Tangled? Maybe nothing like a tree you've ever thought of before. And now, flip yourself up into the air and look down directly on the top. What do you see? Bunch of green. Do you see? And now get microscopic and go inside of one of the acorns. It's equally the tree. You live a life of specificity from a localized consciousness, and there's no problem with that. It's wonderful. In fact, it's really wonderful. The only mistake is you've chosen it as an identity, and that's all we're correcting. Everything else is just great. In fact, there's more to unfold. It's more fun to have. Okay, did Emily give us a fractal? She did.
I didn't
see
it.
It's a picture of a tree.
Oh, it's a picture of a tree. Oh, nice. Thank you. Yeah, look at that. I don't know if I guess I could share this so everybody could see. Well, we're going to get too distracted if I do. But if you look at Emily's picture of the tree, double-click your way through it. You can open it. It looks exactly the same as the vasculature that's surrounding your heart. Dr. Day, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's exactly the same. Arteries, smaller, all the way to the capillaries branching over the tissue to supply. Well, it's the same. But this is a tree. So you'd have to get, thank you, Emily. It's beautiful. It's really cool. So there's nothing wrong with the specificity where we find ourselves. It's just that that would be your identity we're going to correct. So you undo the identity with a separate body. You undo the identity with any type of a contraction or difficulty by discovering you're at a branch at the road now with your Course in Miracles where you could choose freedom. You could choose a larger perspective. You could look at Coco with a full, uninterrupted sense of love. That dog brought love into Jacqueline's life, and no matter what, there was more love coming the next day. Why would that ever stop just because the dog stopped breathing? It would be a choice, wouldn't it? Okay. A little more distraction. Yes, Jacqueline. Oh, there we go. Okay, there's a fractal.
If you click on the hypertext link, you get a fractal that you can dive into deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper.
Nice.
And the pattern reflects or continues ad infinitum.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm just clicking and clicking. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
And there's no end to the depth to which you can dive and continue to see the same pattern emerge time and time and time again. And what's wonderful is that this takes place at the subatomic level. Ooh. And at the intergalactic level in the same fashion.
There it is. Yep, this is it. This is the experience. It gives you kind of a visceral experience of what it would be like to journey through what seems to be separate and different and to find out that it's exactly the same. That's fun. Thanks, Tim. That is cool. All this is to say that there is another way of looking at the world, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's only the fear and the idea of you being a struggling, competing, separate being that ends up in death that's a problem. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to try to explain it to you. I'll write you this big fat book. I'll give you 365 lessons. And, you know, maybe you can join me, he says. Walk with me. I'm saying the same thing. Maybe you'll join me. Walk with me. It's a wonderful sense of freedom and beauty that I didn't see before. I was trying to solve problems when I started A Course in Miracles and not trying to solve problems and make a better life anymore. Now I'm trying to just release my wrong thinking, my personal wrong thinking. That's what I'm doing now. Problems will come and go. I can make it so much better by not getting in the way. And starting now, I can start to live and accept life and be free to maneuver life with a sense of freedom. And a little bit of curiosity is a little higher in me now for all aspects of life, even the problems. It's amazing. Even other people's problems. It's all more interesting. Yeah. Okay. Oh, we have enough time.
Could I just say one thing?
Oh, please do.
It isn't that I'm still totally aware of the love that continues with Coco. That's not something that. So what I experienced was that I could choose to give up the suffering.
Nice.
And the suffering is what keeps me, you know, connected to the ego in a way. The ego's way of making it seem real. So I just thought, well, you know, just give up the suffering. Maybe it's, you know, at that branch in the row, can I give up the suffering?
Ah, I hear you now.
See, that's what, so it
very
doesn't
good.
Mean, still experience, you know, the love hasn't. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, that's all.
can you give up the suffering? This is an important lesson for yourself, or exercise for yourself to know the power of your mind. Could you actually give up the suffering? If you had the chance, would you give up the suffering? Even if it's just for a minute. What's the answer to that, Jacqueline?
Yes.
That's a one-word answer. Because the suffering is weighty, it's dark, it's heavy, and it doesn't even represent the love. It's felt because of the love. That's what the spiritual ego gets in and messes you up. Good. She said, yes, no problem. The only question is when. Ross, what do you got?
So another question is, if there's suffering, where is it sticking to?
Nice.
Yeah, ego.
I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. So where is it going to stick if you're not a body and you're free and you're still as God created you? There's nowhere for that suffering to stick unless it's some, veil? What did we just read? You know, it's some veil that you're hanging on to that's between you and your loved one. That's where it's going to stick.
I love it. It's cool. Where is the suffering sticking? What a great meditation. I love it. Emily.
Where it stuck for me in my meditation was I was trying to understand, like, there's something I have to do in order to, because what I was looking at was death. I was kind of going, what is death? What is it about? Grasp it. Like, what's going to happen? And so,
oh, shucks. Emily, we lost your connection.
I stopped trying to understand it, and I was at peace because I wasn't trying to get something. I wasn't trying to arrive at some understanding.
The words are slowly coming through.
Oh, darn it. Can you hear me now?
We can, yes. All the words came through just really slowly. Excellent. Yeah, you release the suffering just to stop suffering and not for any other reason, and found yourself free. Excellent.
I'm sorry.
Don't stop. Keep bringing in it. Reset your modem. Okay, Tim, what do you got?
I need some practical help from this group. As people know, from time to time, my relationship and my marriage becomes rocky. Communication becomes difficult. And I crave for that relationship to work. I want physical touch. I want intimacy. And sometimes that doesn't seem like that's my partner's ability to give. And so yesterday things seemed to be as good as they had been in some time. And tonight, for some reason that I don't understand, it just turned back into an icebox again. And that distresses me. It makes me sad. And one of the thoughts that goes through my mind is that I am responsible for this. This is my fault. This is my seeing it incorrectly. And I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong to have taken what seemed to be working well and suddenly thrown it in the trash. I don't know what I did, but I accept that somehow I'm responsible for it. And what I'm left with is a deep sadness. I wish it was something other than what it is.
Yep. It's like a death, Tim. that you had a life for a day or two or three or however long, you're like, "Woo, this is good." And then suddenly it was not there. And it's very much like a death. The other word for that is loss, L-O-S-S. You lost something valuable. And then you grieved it. And so this is what happened overnight, yesterday. You grieved the loss, and then that became large and weighty. When only one day ago, you had a lightness of being in your heart, and you were probably very much more lovable. And so
I had hoped for a continuation of that. And I don't understand its sudden disappearance.
Yep.
And
yep.
I don't understand my role in causing it to disappear.
Yep.
Because the Course says the cause for things is within yourself.
Well,
what did I do?
You have to be careful about interpreting that.
Yeah.
The spiritual ego wants to make you responsible for Hitler and the problem in your marriage and stubbing your toe. But this is not where your freedom is to be found. Your freedom is to be found in sticking responsible of your response and reaction to things. Which is what we were talking about with Jacqueline and her dog, is that she would navigate those waters of suffering with the loss of the pet, but without going down the darkness, and without following suffering as required or even responsible. Now with your marriage, when you have this is you have to admit is this is well, anyway when things go dark. And you have a bad day, your job is to somehow keep yourself in the frame of mind of a good day. When things go well and you have a good day, your job is not to move away from the good day. And then the next day, when things go bad, your job is to continue not to move away from the good day. Even though words are said, you get the silent treatment, the icebox, you get blamed, the finger comes out in four-letter words, the whole bit. Your job is to maintain the love that you want to find. You bring it. Not necessarily to her. She's not in the mood to receive it. It'll cause a problem. But to you. To you. What if somehow, some way, you could do what I'm saying for a whole week? A whole week. Things were up, things were down, and you just stayed on the choosing constantly goodness and lightness and forgiveness and a hope in your heart.
So here's where I get lost. The Course firmly instructs that this is my responsibility. Cause and effect lie within myself. And so I look inside myself and say, where did I err that this is my effect?
The effect that the Course is talking about didn't happen in what she said. Or in the cancer. Or in the depression that showed up like a wave of water that pushed the door open that was locked, you thought. And then you find yourself in a state you don't want to be in. This is not what you're responsible for. That script is written. How your wife behaves, how long, that the dogs die. This script is written, and that when they do die, you're going to feel this horrible. What? Where? Oh my God! I cried. I just cried like a baby. My last dog died, and I couldn't move the crate out of the kitchen. I couldn't. I just left it there with the door open. Oh my God! For months.
I would find it useful to know where my responsibility for how things play out versus the script is written.
Go to page.
By my control. How do I figure out that line so that I'm not wasting my time and energy trying to fix something in which the script is written versus something where I am responsible for changing my reaction to what's taking place?
Well, I think Don's got the answer.
Well, I don't know if I've got the answer, but I'm hearing the Course or Jesus saying, you can't correct yourself, but you can be corrected. And so, because when I hear, Tim, you want to blame yourself, like responsible for is equal to you're to blame. And I think that the way to get to being able to be corrected is to just watch the thoughts and feelings that you're having around your perception of how your wife's behaving. And if you can just watch those, then you are, by virtue of watching them, you are stepping in a way into the observer role, or you're stepping away from them. And in that space is the opening to be your experience to be corrected, not change her behavior, but change your experience of yourself, or you know, just your move into, you have a shift of mind.
The branch in the road. Each one is a branch in the road, and you have an opportunity to choose to follow the ego, the way it's the big wide ego road, or to branch off. At that situation, each, thank you, Don, beautifully said, you have to watch though. You got to be vigilant. And you have to start marching through your day saying, oop, I had another worry thought. Oop, I had another blame thought. That is a very good word.
And not to judge, mm-hmm. Not to judge yourself for the worry thought or the blame thought, but just to observe it. Because in observing it, you then are not, you're not attached to it. It doesn't define you. It doesn't define me. If I can actually just step away for a while, I'm detaching myself from it. I'm moving out of the realm of the ego.
Beautiful. Stepping away for a while. Actually devoting yourself not to follow the ego for a moment. All it takes is step away for a moment, look at it, and Don's reporting, my experience as well, that just by looking at it means you've stepped out of it so you can see it. And it has less of a stick. You can start to rip the Velcro apart. And maybe you continue and you leave it alone. Leave the darkness.
If that's what happens in meditation, right? You can't help. Notice you're attracted mm-hmm. to the clouds. Or in your case, in this particular case, I could certainly put myself there. You're attracted to the bad feeling. But then you can watch the bad feeling, just like you watch the cloud and you begin to realize you're not that. Right. And then when you're not that, what are you? You're free. And that's not, this is an intellectual description, but it's an experience that happens by virtue. What is that thing where it'll tell you of itself? It will tell you of itself.
Yes. Beautiful. Good memory, Don.
Yeah. I don't know. What's the first part of that?
That's on page 660. And it's a sweet little sentence where it's really appropriate. Have Jesus weigh in. Tim, go to page 660 in the text. And before you can hear yourself, your true self with a capital letter, tell you of itself. You have to, as Don just said, step back. Step out of the stinking thinking, as I was saying.
I'm familiar with stinking thinking, and I also know the Course reiterates over and over and over, this is what I am responsible for.
Yes. Now, to understand A Course in Miracles correctly, you are responsible for the thoughts and feelings that you're having around the experience, not for the experience at this level, at where you, the one who's reading the book, this now your task is to choose freedom and to stop the stinking thinking. The idea of who you live with, what your DNA is, whether or not you get cancer, how tall or short you are, your gender, maybe confusion. You know, that's all script written. What you do about it is not.
The thoughts will come, right? And I don't know, this thing about you're responsible for your thoughts, it's the trouble with that word sometimes in my experience is I'm to blame for my thoughts. You know, and so the thoughts come seemingly out of nowhere for me. And the choice is actually, do I believe in them? You know, the choice is, am I willing to look at them without judgment?
And do they have to hurt me?
And they won't. And then when there's no judgment, they won't hurt. That's the point. It's an experience. As soon as you are willing to say, not blame yourself and not blame your wife or not blame anything, just not judge and step back and let yourself, let your mind be changed. Let your mind be corrected. Let your understanding be corrected. Let the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit unwind your mind.
Unwind your mind. Take the branch in the road that's holy or happier, lighter.
And you can't do it yourself. You can't do it of yourself. The only thing you can do of yourself is to be willing
yes.
to step back and watch without judgment and be kind and caring and compassionate.
And be willing to let the light enter your mind. It's going to follow the dark if you don't. It's going to follow the dark. You're going to lose sleep. You're going to worry if you don't. So what Don's talking about is having this courage of devotion to step back out of the stinking thinking. This is where you take responsibility. Thank you, Don. Really well said. Beautiful. Please correct me. Jump in. This is your topic now. Luann, what do you got?
I keep remembering what you have said. I think if I'm remembering it right, over and over, is if you go back and look for what went wrong, you're not going to get very far.
You're just going to prove to yourself that it went wrong.
I really think is I have to take care of myself in this situation. It doesn't mean I have to take care of my wife. I have to take care of myself. When I was getting my divorce, I spent hours and hours every day, every day, taking care of myself, how I was approaching it. If I felt like being angry, I let myself be angry and feel good about it, or whatever. And I had a lot of support, and this group is a support group too, but I guess what I want to say about all of that is, look at what the day was yesterday that felt like it was a good day, and say, okay, what made it a good day for me, and that's what I want to have today. No matter what it was, I want to have it for myself. I'm going to choose it for myself.
Yeah, and another thing is you have to recognize, Tim, that your wife is not upset for the reason she thinks. No kidding. Lesson number 5 is still running. Anybody who's operating with an ego tends to erupt and say things and think things and look really upset and twist it up. But it's not because something happened right then and there. It's because of all the other stuff that they've been believing in, and it erupted. It's just like you, when you get upset, you may say you got upset because, darn it, I was about to get out the door and be on time and my shoelace broke. Shoelaces broke, bad, please, you get all that. But you know what? If you just got a promotion the previous day, and they said, you are the best worker we have, and now you're going to be a minute or two late because your shoelace broke, you're like, but they love me there. I am going to be late. My shoelace broke. But they love me? You're not going to be so upset, right? It's wow. All relative to the perspective from which you're looking. And we're going to you're to heal your mind, as Luann was describing, starting by catching your ego at each event that wants to bring darkness. You say, whoa, how can I step back, accept this for what it is, choose a lightness of being instead, and look for my own happiness, my own ability to be at peace. And once you do that, then you'll find a more tolerance that you could actually do things for other people. You might even get to the point where you can go to your wife, but it can't be out of fear. That'll backfire. And say, talk to me, honey. Is there something I said or I did that I'm just oblivious of? But you can't be going there ready to defend yourself. But be warned, she's not upset the reason she thinks, but you will give her a chance to talk. And it's a chance for you to have a meeting. It can be very difficult with a heavy ego. But your job is to even then stay at peace, keep open-minded, keep asking, tell me more. What? How did that feel? What did I say? Oh, that's a habit of mine I could change. Or what have you. But the defensiveness and the self-doubt is the ego's playground. Don, what do you got?
As I was being here with all this and with you, Tim, you know, I was reflecting on my own relationship, and I was thinking about how sometimes I think, and I don't know what Jesus would say about this, that Michelle and I are, in a way, we're attracted to each other. We're attracted to each other to heal, but we're attracted to each other in some ways because we share the same illusions. And so when we have a disagreement and we go into defense, it's almost like we move on to that stage where the script we have with each other is activated, and it seems like there's no way out. And so it's all in the mind, and here's the critical part. It's in the mind. And so if I let my mind be changed, if I'm willing to let my mind be changed, not trying to find reasons, not trying to blame myself, blame her, judge, figure it out, all that, but let my loosen up a little bit and let it go. If my mind changes, Michelle and I are also joined in that whole mind. And if I let loose of my attachment to the separated mind, which we are often joined in, then I basically take away some of the mortar from the bricks that are mortared together. I take away that in my mind, it actually can affect her mind. And there's really not even any need to revisit or to try to figure it out, you know. But and this could all, I think, happen without really any verbal insight, any intellectual insight, even internally, but just a little opening that shines away. I'm fantasizing, perhaps, but just shines away that illusion. And
let me celebrate what you just said. You just said a great phrase. You see the relief on his face when he said, don't try to figure it out? The ego analyzes, wants to figure it out, come up with the details, what went wrong. But you see the relief on his face when he said, don't try to figure it out. Keep a lightness of being about it. And you will be able to move through and past problems, just like the problems you had with Michelle 2 years, 7 months, and 3 days ago. Horrible day. Really bad. What? You see, Maya Angelou said it. You will forget what people said, but you will not forget how they made you feel. Big clue on how to be accepting and love in an unloving situation is present a loving place, safe place for them to blow up. But you do not defend yourself. You do not react. You respond with honesty once, just to be clear, but do not repeat yourself. Give them a safe place to be in a safe relationship, to go through whatever crap they're going through.
Everything you said, I agree with, and it is my personal experience. And Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result.
Mm-hmm. And I'm branching in the road.
Same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Oh, beautiful.
So is that what you think you're doing, Tim? Something. Yeah.
You're at a branching in the road. You've caught it. You got your finger right on it. And so now, as Don was counseling, time to be vigilant. Watch your mind and look for lightness. Look for choices of light, choices of understanding, choices of acceptance. Look for the possibility the relationship's changing and you have a new relationship to deal with now that will also be free and honest and happy, but it may not be the past relationship. You just got to open your mind. Look for the light and have the Holy Spirit counsel. How can I be free even now?
And be okay that what comes may be different than what was.
Yes.
It's always going to be different than what was. We don't even remember what was.
And also, just like your whole life, not only is it going to be different, it's going to be better. For at the very least, it'll be honest.
It's kind of like, what do I need now to feel happiness and peace? And then you ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need now? And I think you'll get an answer.
The answer is always that the now is what you need. If you're looking for happiness and peace in a moment, you'll never get it. At least not the one that's satisfying. Holy Spirit will say, you answered your own question. Now, if you can let your mind release the future and just take an easy breath, just come into yourself right now. Ah.
Andrew, you actually referenced a page, you never proceeded with it, about what you are.
Let's close the meeting with that. Page 660. I'm going to read it just as so we can get through, because I know I've run us over time, but I just love it when people get honest and bring in and challenge A Course in Miracles with the real life. So thank you, Tim. I really appreciate it. Thank you for trusting the group. And thank you, Don, just coming right in with your own relationship and sharing, handling it was just beautiful. Beautiful. Here's what Jesus would say. This is top of the page 660. He says, look, the world can teach no images of you unless you want to learn them. But there will come a time, Tim, when the images, they've all gone by. And you'll see that you don't know what you are. You don't even know what the relationship is, really. Made it up. It's to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns and unhindered and unbound. You see, it's where concepts of the self have been laid by. Concepts of the relationship have been laid by. Concepts, right? laid by. Is truth revealed exactly as it is? And when every concept has been raised to doubt and to question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, I love what Ross said, where would the ugliness stick? Where would the doubt and the dark thoughts stay? I love that question. Thank you, Ross. No assumptions that would stand the light. Then is the truth left free to enter in its sanctuary, the truth sanctuary, present moment, clean and free of guilt. Love is what you are. If you can ever get yourself into the present moment freely, you will be in love. It's the goal of these meditations and meditators, just to get it back to love, which is what you are in any given moment if you were not anywhere else. It's this very simple truth that seems so hard to achieve, but it is the truth. So, there's no statement that the world's more afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world, or myself, or my marriage, or my future. Here comes. Yet, in this learning is salvation born. And capital W now, capital W. And what you are will tell you of capital I itself. That's an elevation in thinking with those last few words. When you're ready for it, that describes your mind, the capacity of your mind to free yourself. You free yourself. How close are you? One thought away. Who is your savior going to be? Your true self. What you are. What you are, not what you will be in some future enlightenment. What you actually are all the time. It will teach you that word of is only two letters. But think about what it means. It will teach you of itself. But didn't we just say it's what you are? Will teach you of itself? That means you, your true nature, because you become aware of your true nature. In a celebration of truth. And it's capital letters. That means it's divine. And it's beautiful and free. Holy. Thank you. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Thank you, all you superstars, for pitching in and teaching and bringing it real. I mean, that makes a great meeting. Thank you, everybody. These meetings are recorded, by the way. It takes me a while to get them up on the website. But if you want to listen in, they're there. They're wonderful. You're folding your laundry or whatever. Okay, everybody, have a good night. We'll see you next week to pick up on this wonderful topic. And right after three, say poof and see what happens. One, two, three, poof.